وإذا بدلنا آية مكان آية والله أعلم بما ينزل قالوا إنما أنت مفتر بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون قل نزله روح القدس من ربك بالحق ليثبت الذين آمنوا وهدى وبشرى للمسلمين ولقد نعلم أنهم يقولون إنما يعلمه بشر لسان الذي يلحدون إليه أعجمي وهذا لسان عربي مبين. We are going to start, inshallah, from ayah number 101 of Surah An-Nahl. We are coming to almost the end of the surah. And again, the surah is a Makki surah, and it discusses those issues that are related to Tawheed and those objections that the kuffar of Quraysh and even the kuffar of today, the disbelievers of today, have put against Islam. And today, two very important discussions will take place, and two objections that the disbelievers have put over the time, over the ages, and even to this day, they have put those objections, they will be discussed. One of them is the issue of naskh of the Qur'an, naskh of Qur'anic verses, and the second is the accusation that the Prophet ﷺ learned the Qur'an from non-Muslim sources, Christian and Jewish sources. So both of those things will be discussed in detail today. First of all, when we say naskh of the Quran, what does it mean? Naskh basically means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings a command, and then after bringing that command, He brings a different ruling to that command. So this is found in a couple of places in the Quran, and there are a couple of examples of it. For example, firstly, that previous nations, they had a certain ruling. For example, the ruling for the Jewish slaughter and the Jewish ruling, the diet ruling, is much more stricter than the ruling that we have for Islam. So what Islam does, it changed the ruling slightly and made that ruling a little bit relaxed. So this is a form of naskh. The second form of naskh is that when the issue, a ruling is there, and there's a lenient ruling, and then slowly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is He brings a ruling which is more strict. But the strict ruling doesn't come down immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down the ruling in stages so that it becomes easy for people to implement. And a classic example of that is the prohibition of khamr, the prohibition of alcohol. So this took place in three stages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes in Surah Al-Baqarah, the people asking Him about two things. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ They are asking you about khamr and maysir, alcohol and maysir, meaning gambling. And ironically, both of these things are very addictive. And both of these things, they have in this country support groups for people that are addicted to both things. Alcoholics Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous. So, even in those days, the people felt that these two things, there's something wrong with them. That's why they came and asked the Prophet ﷺ about them. So, Allah did not reveal the prohibition immediately. So, in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعٌ لِلنَّاسِ He said, there are harms and there are benefits. But وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْيَهِمَا The harm, they are greater than the benefits. Okay, so, for example, somebody drinks alcohol, he forgets his sorrows for a while, he feels good for a little bit, and then after that, you know, he comes out of that situation and he has a hangover, and then he becomes addicted to it. So on the one hand, there's slight benefit, and then after that, a person goes back into this vicious cycle of drinking alcohol again and again. Also, the issue of wine comes up from time to time. Doctors say that if you drink one glass of wine every day, it lowers your cholesterol and it's good for you. But again, the same doctors, they will tell you that if you don't drink alcohol, If you don't drink wine, then don't start. Yes, this is our research, but if you do not drink, then the better option is for you not to even drink. So this is the issue of alcohol. And then the issue of gambling, sometimes a person wins, but the majority of the time, a person loses. So sometimes there's benefits, but the majority of the time, there are harms. So in this ayah, Allah said, فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِيُ لِلنَّاسِ. So this was the first mention of alcohol. The second stage of prohibition was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارًا. Do not come close to salat while you are in the state of intoxication. And this took place after one of the sahabi, he had been drinking, he came to lead the salat, he led the salat, and he mixed up the verses to such a degree that the meaning completely changed. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, he said. So, he changed the meaning completely, and then after that, this verse was revealed, and then people started avoiding drinking alcohol while coming for salat. So, if you imagine, 5 times daily, a person has to pray the salat, and now he's being told to avoid alcohol during those times of salat. So, all day, basically, he has to avoid it. The only time he can drink now is at night. So this was the second stage. And then finally, the third stage of prohibition was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prohibited it completely. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So this was the stage in which the prohibition became complete. So why did this take place over 3 stages? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the humans. He knows that because of their weakness, for them to go, as the saying is, we call it here in the West, to go cold turkey. Cold turkey means that you just stop drinking immediately. It is very difficult for people to do. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the prohibition in stages, and then it became easier for people to follow. And even certain things that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did and prohibited, that kind of made people psychologically lose touch with the alcohol too. For example, there were certain utensils that people used to use to put wine in to ferment them. So initially, what Islam did was prohibit even the use of those utensils. And particularly what it was, you may have seen the gourd. Gourd, which is like a pumpkin, and if you hollow it out, it becomes it becomes hollow, and you can bang on it. People use them for decorative purposes. If you go to like these house decoration stores, you can buy these gourds that have been hollowed out, and you can put them for decorations. So initially, what people used to do, they used to use those utensils, those gourds, to put wine in so that it could ferment. So initially, the Prophet ﷺ even prohibited the use of those utensils. Why? Because he didn't want people to kind of relapse into using those utensils, thinking about wine, and then starting to drink again. And that prohibition was temporary. The Prophet ﷺ removed the prohibition after the people, they completely stopped drinking alcohol. So that's the second kind of prohibition or naskh that take place in the Quran. However, the Quran in other things, it will never change. For example, about the issue of the planets, the sun, the moon, things about the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, different rulings relating to aqidah and tawheed about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things always remain constant and they will never change. However, the things that do change are from Sharia to Sharia, meaning from previous religions to our religion, or within the religion for a particular type of wisdom, like I've mentioned about alcohol. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not forgetful, and He doesn't change things without a reason. There is a reason for His change. Now, people that make the objection, particularly against Islam, about the issue of naskh, usually it's like hardline Christians. But if you ask them the question that why is it that you consume pork? They say, well, it's in the Old Testament. And the New Testament, it says, you're allowed to for whatever reason. They have a way that they, you know, justify it. Or there are very hard and strict rulings in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, there are very lenient and soft rulings. So, if you ask them the question, well, who gave you the Old Testament? God. Who gave you the New Testament? God. So then, why is there a discrepancy between the two? So you can answer the question and objection against those people by using this kind of understanding. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا بَدَّلْنَا آيَةً مَكَانَ آيَةً. When we change one ayah in place of another ayah. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُنَزِّلُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is more knowing of what He reveals and what He sends down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what He's doing, fully aware of what He's revealing, fully aware of the verses that He's sending down. قَالُوا, they say, and this can be anyone, and in this case it was the kuffar of Quraysh, and it can be even people of today. What was that? They say, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُفْتَرْ. You are indeed fabricating things. You are inventing things. Okay, the Quran, it said one thing at that point, and at this point it said one thing. Why are you fabricating things? And again, a classic example of that, the Jews of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they objected to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ, he changed the Qibla from Baytul Muqaddas to the Kaaba. And because Baytul Muqaddas was the holiest place for them, and they were facing the Qibla, their Qibla at that time, even now the Orthodox Jews face Jerusalem when they pray. So they had an objection against the Prophet ﷺ changing the Qibla. But again, this is an example of the Sharia changing, so the ruling for the Sharia also changing for the Prophet ﷺ, and also an indication for the Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, to understand that prophethood that was up until this time in Baytul Muqaddas, in the area around Jerusalem, it has now transferred into the holy land of Mecca, where the Prophet ﷺ was born. So this was the reason that the Tahwilul Qibla took place, and the Prophet ﷺ himself wanted the Qibla to be the Kaaba. So initially in Mecca, he used to face the Kaaba in such a way that both Baytul Muqaddas and the Kaaba were faced at the same time. And when he moved to Medina, then he couldn't do it because Jerusalem is in the north, the Kaaba is in the south, so he has to decide which direction to face. So initially the command was face Baytul Muqaddas, and after that the command changed to Makkatul Mukarramah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes what the people say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُفْتَرْ. Indeed, you are just fabricating things. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them and says, in fact, most of them, they do not know. Meaning that there's a wisdom behind the changing of these rulings that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about, and that's why He changes these rulings and brings about changes, but the majority of the humans do not know. An easy example of that to understand is a person, he gets afflicted with some kind of illness. So for a certain amount of time, the doctor gives him a certain type of medication. And then after that course is completed, he gives him another course of medication different to that. And so nobody accuses the doctor of not knowing what he's doing, but they trust the doctor's judgment and they go along with the medication that are being prescribed. And this is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most wise of the wisest, wisest of the wise, and the fact that He gives us these rulings, we have to put our trust in Him that He knows better than us. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ, tell them of Prophet of Allah, نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكِ. This Quran, it was not something that I fabricated and pulled out of my pocket, but رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ, meaning the angel, the most blessed angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, he is the one who brings down this Quran from who? Mir Rabbik, from your Lord. It is not something that I have invented. It is not something that Jibreel alayhi salam invented. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jibreel alayhi salam in another verse as a ruhul ameen, the ruh who is trustworthy, meaning he brings the message exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to him. He doesn't invent and fabricate and introduce his own things inside it. In fact, he brings the message as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to him. So, Ruhul Qudusi Mir Rabbik, Ruhul Qudus, meaning Jibreel Islam, he brought it from your Lord, Bil Haqq, with the truth. He brings the truth and nothing but the truth. And the reason, لِيُثَبِّتَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This is the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down different rulings at different times. لِيُثَبِّتَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So that he can strengthen those people that have iman, so that they can remain steadfast. Okay? Why? Like I said about the issue of alcohol, if the ruling had come over immediately, then it would be difficult for people to take and grasp that ruling. But what happened was it came over time, so it became easier for people to remain steadfast on that ruling. So, لِيُثَبِّتَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And it is a guidance and glad tiding for the people who submit themselves. So, all through the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings for people that are believing, that obey, that follow, and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ita'atullah wa ita'atul rasul. They continue to get glad tidings, and they, when they read these things, they become happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us a jannah and a reward that we will get in the hereafter. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. Indeed, we know that they are saying that the Qur'an was taught to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by a human being. So who was this human being? There are various interpretations or various opinions as to the accusation that they made against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Firstly, one opinion, Salman al-Farsi. Another person, his name was Ya'ish. Another name, Udas. And another name, Bala'an. All of these names were the ones that people put forth as people that they suspected that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was learning the stories from the previous scriptures from, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to that charge over here. According to other riwayat, it was a person who was in amongst the Quraysh, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to sit by him. He used to sell things at the Mount of Safa, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to sit with him and talk to him, and this person was an A'jami. A'jami means he was not an Arab. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit with him. So this accusation was brought against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was copying the stories that that person knew from the previous texts and just putting them into the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that. Before I get into the response, there's also an accusation that Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who did she take to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to see when the wahi started coming to him? She took him to see Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who was related to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this Waraqa was a person who was familiar with the previous scriptures, Christian teachings, Jewish teachings, and he told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that I wish that I could be there at the time when your people turn you out of your city. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time was very surprised that how could my people turn me out of my city when I'm supposed to be al-Amin, I'm the Sadiq, people you trust me and they love me and they have affection for me. So Waraqa told him that every person that have stood up with his message of Tawheed, he has been thrown out of his city and he has had a difficult time. I wish I was alive when this thing happens to you so I could come to support you. So this riwayah, which is in Bukhari, it says at the end of it, at the end of that riwayah, it says that after a while Waraqa died. Waraqa died and then the wahi stopped coming for a while. The wahi stopped coming for a while. So people have jumped upon this wording in this hadith in Bukhari and they say that the Prophet was actually copying from Waraqa the stories, and when Waraqa died, then the wahi stopped coming because he was copying from him. That's why it stopped coming. But the reality is, the answer is here. The answer is mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌ. The tongue or the language that they are accusing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of copying from was أَعْجَمِي, meaning non-Arabic. In Hebrew or Greek or previous or Aramaic, whatever different languages, but not in Arabic. So first of all, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam could not even read Arabic. Okay, forget about different languages. And on top of that, the Bible and the previous scriptures were not translated into Arabic until many, many centuries, even after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, not even during the time of the Prophet. So to accuse the Prophet of copying from the previous scriptures, it is foolish on its face. Because why? First of all, the Prophet, he doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to read Arabic, let alone the other languages. So how could he copy the stories in such detail? So the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is in such detail. The story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, different stories of Musa alayhi salam are mentioned throughout the Quran in great detail. The story of Yunus alayhi salam is mentioned in detail. The story of Lut alayhi salam is mentioned in detail. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned in detail. So time and again, all of these stories are mentioned without any kind of discrepancy, without any kind of problem between them, all corroborating with each other. So how could the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bring and copy those stories in such detail from a non-Arab when he doesn't even know how to read Arabic, his own mother tongue? It is impossible for it to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌ. The tongue that they are accusing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of copying from is أَعْجَمِي. The word أَعْجَمِي, by the way, is the word that Arabs use for non-Arabs. And this traditionally was and still is used for non-Arabs. And the actual literal meaning of ajami is dumb. Okay, they used to regard the non-Arabs as people that didn't know how to talk. Why? Because the Arabs themselves were very famous for poetry and literature and reading and writing, storytelling. In fact, there were marketplaces where people used to just gather just to recite poetry to each other. This was how famous poetry was and literature was at that time. So any person who didn't know Arabic, he was automatically known as ajami, meaning a person who's dumb, doesn't know anything about language, doesn't know anything about poetry, doesn't know anything about what linguistics. So this was why they were known as ajami. And while we're on this issue, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were sent to their nations, and the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them were in accordance with the things that people were famous for at that time, or what people used to look up to at that time. So during the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, for example, magic was at a peak. Black magic, magicians, illusions, all these type of things, they were at their peak and people looked up to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the ability to counter the magic with miracles that looked like magic but was more powerful than magic. The stick that was given that turned into a snake, and the shining hand, all of the different things that happened during the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but in response to the magic of the time, which basically made people understand that this is not magic. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was given miracles of curing people. At the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, medicine and treating people of illnesses, it was prevalent. So the miracles that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was given were related to the treatment and the cure of people. So the fact that he could miraculously cure blind people, the lepers, the sick, even bring people back from the dead, it was a miracle, miracles which were according to the thing that was prevalent at the time. The Quran was given to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a way, it is a literary miracle which is complete in every way, in a poetic sense, in a storytelling sense, in a powerful sense. Why? Because the people of the time, they used to be into the poetry and linguistics and literature and so on. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌ. The tongue that people are accusing the Prophet ﷺ of copying from is أَعْجَمِي. It is a non-Arab language. وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌ مُبِينٌ. And this is a tongue which is in clear Arabic, meaning the Quran that has been revealed, it is in clear and beautiful Arabic, open Arabic that can be understood by everybody. This is what the Quran is. And if the Prophet ﷺ had copied from other languages, then there would have been problems. There would have been, differences that took place in the stories. But there is such detail that he could not have copied it. So with that, inshallah, we finish for today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.